We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast with Pastor Bob Arthurs. That's me. And you're listening to 91.5 WMIE FM 91.5 right here in Cocoa, Florida. And beware the Ides of March. Today is the 15th of March. Beware, because this is your last opportunity to attend the kids' convention with the Lucier family and Elmer, the puppets, and all of the dynamic, the lights, the everything that goes with kids' ministry. Our sanctuary is completely transformed during this week so that kids have the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So if you're planning on coming, tonight's the last night, the grand finale, and we got some things that we're going to be giving away to the kids at the end of the service tonight. So come and be a part of that. Do also want to say thank you today to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 632-9538, right here in Central Florida, Central Brevard County. They can travel anywhere in the county. Wherever your problem is, they can go there. They can take care of the problem, whether it's an electrical issue. For us, they've run new electrical lines. They have changed fixtures, installed fixtures. They have changed electrical panels. They've done all sorts of work. They are skilled electrically. I know I spend a lot of time focusing on the air conditioning, but they are tremendous with the electrical aspect of it as well. And so if you need electrical repair, or maybe you need your AC unit, just come and had some maintenance done on it, give them a call, 632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and we would greatly appreciate you passing that along. So today we are going to be talking about our eyes, and we are talking about confessions that men should be making with their life. And I will tell you guys, we are visual beings. And so therefore, we are the declaration we're going to be dealing with today is, I fight for purity, guarding my eyes and heart from tempting situations. I fight for purity, guarding my eyes and heart from tempting situations. And the verse that you and I may be the most familiar with when it comes to this, there are several of them we're going to talk about. It says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? And so, is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? And so there are some people who will argue that pornography is a victimless crime. I want you to know that that is not the case. There are some people that argue, what difference does it make if what I'm doing all by myself? And I want you to know that this passage clearly indicates that God sees what you do, whether it's in public and private, whether it's lit up or whether it's in the dark. It always amazes me that people think that man invented technology, that he can see things in the dark, but God's had that technology all along. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. This was during the time when he was going through his most intense testing of who he was as a man. And he said, you know, let me just inform you of how I operate my life. And he said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not look lustfully on a young lady. And so if that's what Job did in the Old Testament, how much more so do you think that you and I need to make that covenant with our eyes in the New Testament? I mean, we're living in a day of grace. Excuse me. I want you to know that the New Testament is not a lowering of the standard of righteousness. It's an elevation of the standard of righteousness. Jesus said, the Old Testament, it was Old Covenant, it was thou shalt not commit adultery. In the New Testament, you're not supposed to look lustfully after a young lady. It's an elevated standard. In the Old Testament, you weren't supposed to kill. In the New Testament, you're not supposed to be angry without a cause. And so it's very important, especially for us men, that we have this spiritual warfare mindset, that we are going to guard our eyes, that we are going to fight for purity, and that we are going to guard our heart from tempting situations. One of the things that, even when I was a youth pastor, I was trying to instruct people is you need to have a game plan. You need to have a strategy for how you're going to deal with temptation before you ever get into a tempting situation. You got to know. You've got to know what you're going to do. You know, the military instills into their servicemen and their servicewomen the training that is necessary of how they're going to respond in an aggressive situation, how they're going to respond before they ever get into that situation. And our first line of defense against temptation is with our eyes. Is with our eyes. And, you know, I've been told that our brains are wired in such a way that we never truly forget the things that we see. And so, I mean, it might get archived, it might get buried under more recent files or anything, but you never really forget the things that you see. So if that's the case, if we are visual creatures, you need to realize, and I need to realize, that the devil's strategy is going to come and attack us at one of our most vulnerable areas, and that is with visual temptation. And so it is, especially in the last 100 years or so, with television and movies and things like that, visual temptation has become more and more prevalent. And so as the assault has intensified, we need to be more intense with our defense. We need to have that covenant that we have with our eyes. Now, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 16, verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." So we need to realize that this lust of the eyes is not just in a sexual nature. It is the purpose behind advertising. It is the purpose behind product placement. It is the purpose behind billboards. It's the purpose behind business placement and business signage and all that sort of stuff. Is can the devil get us attracted by our eyes? By our eyes. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. And so we create that covenant with our eyes and says, you know what, God, I want to enter into a covenant that I am not going to be looking at things that you are not pleased with me looking at. Okay. Now, before you go, you know, too pharisaical on me and saying you're just being too much of a Pharisee and all that sort of stuff, let me tell you that there are now governments that are recognizing the dangerous plague that pornography is upon a society. Okay? That's not the moral police. That's communities are saying, you know what? This isn't working well for our society. And here's the by the way, if you are ever engaged in that and you're looking at a magazine or a website or anything, you know, you might think that they are looking that those people that are being displayed on the screen, they're looking at you. They're not looking at you. The Bible says he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Okay? And so there are articles that come across my desk all of the time, and it talks about the negative ramifications. Listen, if this is a stronghold in your life, I want to encourage you to do whatever is necessary to eliminate as much of the temptation as you can. Okay? Guys are one of the biggest targets of the lust of the eyes. But ladies, I want you to understand that the fastest growing targeted audience for pornography is women, which makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. But that is they're trying to get you into the same trap. And let me tell you something. When you have photographs that are of people who are, let's say they're better looking than the average person, shall we? And then they're photo brushed on top of that, and they're photographed and positioned in just the right light and all of that sort of stuff. Do you realize that that is designed not to build up the person that you are in love with? That is designed to create an inferiority complex in them, that they cannot measure up to these people who are artificially created and photographed to create an ungodly desire in people. It is a trap, and it is a trap of death. There's in Proverbs, it talks about a young man who's walking down the street and he gets lured into this immoral relationship, and it says not realizing that it's going to drag him to his death. You need to realize that bait is designed to appeal to the most basic senses, but it's never, bait is always used to lure someone to, or something to its death, not to a greater quality of life. So, ladies, well, let me put this in a non-pornographic temptation area. Guys, if you can't afford a boat, don't go looking for boats. Don't go looking at boats. If you can't afford a new car, don't go looking at cars. Because what we see is what we are going to desire. What we position our eyes to look at are the things that we are going to end up desiring. And so that's why when you go to the grocery store, there are things that are positioned right by the counters that you don't need. You don't need that king-size Snickers bar or king-size Butterfinger bar or Milky Way or whatever it is. You don't need that 14-pound bag of potato chips. There are things that are positioned there, and it says, oh, you know what? I'll just do this. And before you know it, your bill has gone up, your diet is busted, and you're not seeing the success that you want. And it's all because of what you were lured into. There are people who spend lots and lots of money just to create the visual temptation that you need to for you to make their business even richer. Large corporations don't just go out and say, you know, I think this building would look good this color. They go in and they have focus groups and they say, which one is more inviting and more appealing to you? Which one makes you want to spend more money? They spend money trying to determine what color they're going to paint their buildings, where the products are going to be placed, all to begin to appeal to the eye. In Psalm 25 and in verse number 12, it says this: who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. What I want you to see here is this: my eyes are ever toward the Lord. David got into trouble because his eyes were captivated by what Bathsheba was doing on the rooftop. And he set aside all the parameters and had everything that he... Listen, by the way, he was supposed to be at war, and instead he wasn't. Springtime was a time when people went off to war. And so I want to encourage you, position yourself, train yourself, that this is a time of growth. This is a time of increase. But if we are not about the business that we're supposed to, it can be a time of temptation that is going to derail us and cause problems for our family for a long, long time to come. Don't let your eyes bring you down. Do you know that you have muscles that God has equipped you in your face with that allow you to close your eyes? Isn't that amazing? No one can sit there and force you to watch something. I remember when I was in youth group that I hung out with some kids that were a little older than I was, and they went to a movie, and it was a horror movie, and there were things that came up on the screen that I didn't want to look at. And so I got up, I'd paid for my ticket, I got up and I walked out of the movie. I said, I'm not going to sit there and watch that. And so I encourage you, don't subject yourself, don't subject your eyes to things that you shouldn't. If you and I will fix our eyes on Jesus, which is what it says in the New Testament to do, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, that's going to eliminate a lot of temptation in our life. Do you realize that when you're driving down the road, that inadvertently you steer the car towards what you are looking at? If you get sidetracked by a billboard, you will look up at the road and you will find that you've kind of unconsciously veered toward the billboard. It wasn't just your eyes that went there. Your arm was attracted to what you were looking at. So rather than looking at the creation, we need to fix our eyes on the Creator and allow Him to govern the things that we see. Fix your eyes on Jesus. It will go well with you. There are a few more verses in Psalms that we want to talk about. Psalm 36 and verse number 1. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. Listen to that. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. So if you and I are filling our eye, it's the gateway, and it's one of the gates into our existence, into our personality. We have our ear gate, our mouth gate, our eye gate, and the devil will try and bring things into our life, and it will allow them to be seeds. And then he's a very patient devil. He'll allow those things to grow until they produce in us sin. We don't want that. The way to do that, the way to guard our eyes, is to walk in a reverential awe of God that says, how would God want me to walk? And when you and I realize that God is walking with us step by step, day by day, we'll realize it's not a stretch of the imagination to know that God sees what we see. So we need to have the fear of God in our eyes. There needs to be a revelation of the holiness of God that will bring to us an understanding of our sinfulness before God, so that we will hate our sin, not choose to embrace our sin. Okay? And so make sure that you fix your eyes upon Jesus, and make sure that you are not disrespecting the Lord God, but you have a healthy understanding that he is awesome. So two more passages. Psalm 101, turning, turned too far. Psalm 101, getting there. Psalm 101, verse number 1. I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Listen to this. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Can I encourage you? Put a block on your computer if you have to. Tell your wife and your kids to go get the mail if you have to. Cancel your television's package if you have to. But whatever you do, understand that it's your responsibility, your privilege. Guys, this is our declaration. I fight for purity. Fight is not getting down and dirty and, you know, rolling around in the mud. Fight is I'm going to employ whatever strategy is necessary. I'm taking the gloves off. I am going to win this war. One of the articles that I saw the other day said that a person who had fallen into the addiction of pornography, it didn't cause them to have a greater appreciation for women. It caused them to have a bad attitude towards women. And like I say, it is not a victimless crime. Many of those people who are engaged in the production side of pornography or any of the corresponding industries, many of them, their self-esteem has been so decimated that they're addicted to drugs, they're addicted to many other issues, and they are some of the most unhappy people on the planet. Do you realize that there are people who thought they could just get involved in the production side for a little while, and then they went on to other careers? But listen, everything that you do electronically now, it is out there. It follows you for the rest of your life. And many people, they went on to try and have a different career, and all of a sudden, their past comes back to have a detrimental effect on their future. That's not just on the production side. That'll be true on the consumer side of things as well. One last verse to get to, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And let's begin reading with verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commands, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthly things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. There is not just looking at things that you shouldn't look at and looking at things that you should look at, but there's also looking at things that are just a waste of time. Much of our society is addicted to television, to where they watch more television than they do anything else. It is one of the biggest wastes of time that there is. Now, I've got a television in my house. There are things that we watch, but I'll tell you, we have a package, and sometimes we flip through the channels, and even though there's hundreds of channels, we still couldn't find anything to watch. So you know what? We shut it off. And so I encourage you today, make a covenant with your eyes. Fight the fight for the purity of your eyesight. Don't let the devil bring all of that evil or negative or worthless input in your life. Instead, get the beam out of your eye and allow the light that Jesus intends to bring into your life. Look to Jesus. Fix your eyes upon him and allow him to develop in you an awe of just how wonderful and how marvelous God is. What if we had a desire, a longing for the awesomeness of God, to see it with our eyes? What would that do to the rest of the activities that we have going on in our life? Listen, the more we fix our eyes on Jesus, the more we're going to recognize the beauty of his handiwork. Everywhere we go, we are going to say, man, God is truly amazing. I'm telling you, he is a master artisan. He is a master of painting and creating beauty. God bless you. See you tonight at the kids' conference. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.